Chapter 15. A Place That Isn't Empty. Harmony immediately regretted every sin she had ever committed the very moment the pitcher of ice-cold water came cascading over her backside. She produced a shriek from deep within, her face contorting like she was giving birth to an iceberg. She clutched her shivering self in the sloshing waves of the ivory bathtub surrounding her. Applejack paced across the second-story bathroom of her house and placed the empty pitcher beside a gently flickering lantern. "Now, don't go making faces like a frog left out in a snowstorm," Applejack chuckled under her breath. "You ain't gonna suffer none. Just relax and let the cold waters drag the heat of the day clear off ya. Nothing finishes a long, sore afternoon of apple bucking like a traditional apple family dip in the tub. Cleans your pores right out. Bet you were wondering how come I've worked in the sun all these here years, and yet I don't look like a raisin-coated mule. Actually, I was wondering if blood freezes at the same temperature as water," Harmony hissed through clattering teeth. "Pfft, go soak your head." Applejack blinked at her own words. Y'all know what I mean." She winked and motioned with an orange hoof. "Soap's over yonder, and next to it we got some of the finest shampoo from Aloe and Lotus's Day Spa in downtown Ponyville. Normally I don't subscribe to none of them frou-frou mane conditioners, but it was donated by Rarity. Now there's a mare who knows how to come out of a day's work looking as sparkly as Princess Celestia's own looking glass."
"You have some fancy friends."
"Eh, some of them are, I reckon. You see the bright bottle with the lavender cap on top of the shelf? That there is a bubble bath mixture. Have at it if you like. I can never get myself to use this stuff."
"Then why do you have it?"
"Pinkie Pie gave it to me. A pony love her." Applejack smiled. "She's a nice pony, but for some reason she thinks all ponies like to get wet as much as she does."
Harmony's shivering brow furrowed.
Anyways, once you're done soaking, come join us downstairs."
"Thanks, Miss Applejack."
Harmony shivered to produce a smile.
"Sincerely, you're too kind."
"Call me AJ." The farm mare smirked, and back trotted out of the bathroom door. "Just be sure to dry your hooves after you're done. And if you smell something a wee bit spicy, that's just Granny Smith making her one-of-a-kind daffodil Alfredo. She only fixes it up once in a blue moon, on account of having a special guest and all." She smiled.
Harmony
blushed to the core of her projected self's being.
"That's really sweet."
"No, it ain't." Applejack blinked.
"It's spicy."
She caught herself.
"Oh, right. Enjoy."
She closed the door behind her, the mare's hoofsteps creaking straight through the wooden foundations of the old farmhouse. The copper-coated Pegasus sloshed back in the tub, her shivers waning to a stillness under the gentle lull of the amber lantern light. She brushed a few slick black strands from her forehead and gazed at her hoof up close. Harmony knew that she was merely occupying the projection of her soul self. Those were not her limbs dripping with moisture, and those were not her senses shivering under the frantic thrill of the cold liquid. And yet, she couldn't remember feeling more at ease, more royally pampered, more in tune with herself than she did at that moment. And it was nothing more than a humble bath. Harmony knew that in her lonely days before her lonelier days, she would have reveled in experiencing something half as wholesome as this. In the twilight years of navigating the wastelands, she would never have foreseen a moment when she would feel this clean. It only took her a 25-year ride on the back of reverse time to experience it. The surreality of the moment should have been suffocating, but with each centimeter that she allowed her soaking self to descend into the waters, she suddenly couldn't care. The last pony closed her eyes, her body floating in a weightless pool of lucid cold. Like always, when her eyelids were shut, she saw the gray ash and snow stretching on into the horizon of her bitter consciousness. But as her entropian body settled warmly into the waters, the freezing mists faded away, and there bubbled to her mind's surface the wispy vistas of Cloudsdale, its blue beds and ivory buildings glistening under the gold bands of a lively sun. Hundreds upon hundreds of Pegasi floated gaily in the electric air, their eyes as bright as their souls, and they all parted ways as Harmony floated through them, gently hovering to a stop before a wide bed of fog. There was laughter, a deep chant of daily joy, and out of the blue on blue, there soared a figure into crisp clarity, her mane and tail shimmering with every shade of the rainbow as she gazed down at the young foal and gave a devil-may-care grin. But just as Rainbow Dash turned to fly away, a spicy smell filled the air, like a great valley of trees burning far below. Thick iron bars obscured the flight of the prismatic Pegasus, and then the gray ashen explosion roared through the sky on burning moon rocks that slammed into Harmony's face with the force of a million screaming ponies. There was a loud splash. The mare was clasping hard to the side of the tub, hyperventilating. The flickering light around her wasn't equestrian flames, but the gentle dance of a lantern in the corner. The spicy smell in the air wasn't ash, but a delicious meal waiting for her and the Apple family downstairs. She was in the past, and the past was here and now, but it all seemed so fake to her once again. In the fading trails of a reborn epiphany, Harmony reminded herself that the only real things in this world were those that left fossils behind. It didn't mean that she couldn't enjoy the moment,
like the fleeting phantom that she was, soaked from head to tail in an exiled goddess's skin. A mute curse floated towards the ceiling, seeking the forehead of a 300-year-old spike. Then there was the softest of smiles. With gentleness and grace that she only knew from reading books, Harmony reached for the soap and conditioner and bathed like a princess. Harmony couldn't take her eyes off the portraits. There were dozens of them, black-on-white silhouettes of rural ponies, framed in dark ovals that swarmed past her one generation at a time as she sauntered slowly, pensively, down the creaking stairs of the Apple family residence. She emerged upon a warm, toasty world. A fireplace crackled lazily at the far end of the den, furnished with plush love seats and afghans. As a blurred apple bloom scampered across the living room, giggling in a fit over one thing or another, Harmony glanced around the corner to see a brightly lit dining room, flanked by a kitchen where Granny Smith was currently growling at Applebloom to settle down. The old mare navigated her lime, wrinkled self around an eating table, before placing down a steamy plate full of straw and daffodils, sprinkled deliciously with peppery oats. Harmony heard a barking noise. The last pony briefly jolted, reaching back for a non-existent copper rifle. She relaxed when she saw Winona scampering up and running circles around her, a gleeful Applebloom hot on the collie's fluffy tail. The two went cantering off towards another section of the house as Harmony's attention was drawn towards a wide portrait lining a distant hearth. Within the wooden frame, the happy image of six ponies stood in a familial pose. Granny Smith was seated in the center, flanked by a red-coated stallion with sharp green eyes and a mare of silken orange complexion. The mare was cradling an infant with a light blush of red hair, while two adorable foals, one crimson and the other orange, hugged the mother's legs and faced the invisible portraitist. The time traveler stood there, numbly suspended in the facade of Harmony. Like the airship of the same name, she dangled loosely, a shameful puppet suspended into the deep well of the past via green flaming marionette strings. This was a warm and toasty world that sang with a chorus that should have been forever lost after the cataclysm. And yet there the last pony was, dragging her hooves a bare sneeze above the rock-hard surface of it all, struggling to drag anchor, but never quite touching down to do just that. She didn't deserve to be there, not with her invulnerable skin and her scavenger's wit and her nefarious lies. She couldn't possibly have been righteous enough to be blessed as she was. She wasn't respectful enough. She wasn't strong enough. The cloud cleared just as thickly as it had coalesced. The Pegasus barely registered a porch door opening and slamming shut. A hulking red form clopped on tired limbs as a sisterly shadow called from the adjacent hallway. Mackie, did you finish barricading the kitchen door? That's where they'll likely go banging them bony heads of theirs first.
Yup.
McIntosh strolled past Harmony. He politely nodded his head, then jolted with a double take at her mane. Blinking, he suppressed a snickering smirk and swaggered his way into the dining room. Harmony blushed slightly, her face awash in copper confusion. Just in time, Applejack pattered up, tossing her hat onto a nearby rack.
Woo-wee! I swear, sometimes I feel like a pony invented work first and ponies second to make an excuse for the former.
She took one glance at Harmony.
Oh, you're done, Copperbottom.
She jolted.
Whoa, Nelly! You do know, Sugar Cube, that we've got a mirror in the bathroom, don't you?
I don't read you, Miss Applejack, or AJ.
Harmony's eyes narrowed.
I almost passed out in the tub.
Did the trolls beat me with an ugly stick before I came down here or something?
Nothing of the sort, Applejack pointed with an amused expression.
Didn't your mom ever teach you how to brush your mane proper?
Huh?
Harmony stupidly blinked and ran a hoof over her neck, only to feel a certifiable mountain of fuzzy tangles spreading upwards towards the ceiling.
Holy cow! Oh yeah, that's right. I've got a mane. There's a brush over yonder on the table. Be my guest.
Hmm? Harmony only barely registered Applejack's offering.
Oh, to be perfectly frank, I've never, how do I put this?
She bit her lip. The only time the last pony had ever toyed with her hair after the cataclysm was when she weaved the shaved pink strands into various rags, bindings, and insulators for use on board the Harmony. There was a time, in her Ponyvillian childhood, when she once experimented with a rainbow assortment of dye, which ended with relatively hilarious results. Not that she had any point to share the embarrassment with.
Pfft.
Applejack rolled her green eyes.
What's this world coming to? I bet your Kenilodian citizens would just die without one of them servants waiting on your manes night and day. Come here.
She gently tugged on the Pegasus's shoulder and planted her on a plush stool in the center of the den. Seeing herself on the edge of a couch, the Earth Pony snatched the brush from the table and proceeded to dive into Harmony's forest of amber-streaked black threads.
Now sit tight. With the way y'all left it, this might smart a bit.
This might what?
Gah!
Harmony winced, one eye tightly shut as several tangles were yanked clear, tugging at the roots. She felt like 100,000 nooses were pulling at every inch of her neck.
You mistaken my skull for a tree you forgot to buck, AJ?
Quit your whining, Harmony. The farm mare murmured, squinting at her work as she straightened the curls out into long, onyx threads.
I'm only doing this because you got some really fine hair, if I do say so myself. It's not a shame to see it all in shambles like this. The only other Pegasus pony I've seen with a dude this long is my good friend Fluttershy. It perplexes me why she never flies. She practically trips on her bangs every time she so much as breaks into a canna. Tilt your head down.
Harmony obeyed, her bobbing vision scanning the plush rugs of the den under the flickering fireplace.
You seem to have a close-knit group of friends, the Pegasus casually said. So far I've heard about Twilight Sparkle, Lady Rarity, and now Fluttershy?
Oh, we're a tight bunch, a scowls. Applejack smirked as she threaded the amber streaks together, and then shifted her concentration on Harmony's ends.
Any pony who knows a thing or two about our running with Nightmare Moon will say it's all on account of the elements of Harmony. Heh. Now there's a smattering of irony for you. But I like to think it was a great deal more heartfelt than that. I was always well acquainted with Pinkie Pie and the Cake family over at Sugar Cube Corner, before fate flung a whole lot of us together. And every pony in Ponyville knew about Fluttershy. Well, relatively speaking. The Pegasus has always lived in a lonely cottage outside of town. She never really showed her face much until she became part of our little circle of friends. The Main Six, as some gabbering townsfolk like to call her little powwow.
Main Six, Harmony chuckled, wincing a bit as another tangle bit the dust. That's original.
Nah, not really, Applejack droned. But still, there's something about my friends and I that's just so...
She paused for a moment, and chuckled.
Oh shucks, I do sound like a bragging fool, don't I?
No, it's all right, Harmony gulped, suddenly feeling her heartbeat.
Do go on.
Well, Applejack spoke as she resumed brushing from behind.
We all found out one day that we had a special connection. As a matter of fact, we were destined to find each other at some point or another, on account that when we were all little foals, one single event echoed across the whole of Equestria. In some manner or another, it was responsible for us all getting our cutie marks at precisely the same time. Now what are the odds of that happening?
Harmony tried to steady her breath. A warm sensation blossomed deep inside her gut as she sat upon the precipice of a legendary story that the Pegasus knew all too well. Over several lonesome years spent in the ashen sky, the last pony often did all she could to bury the bitterly ironic implications of the memory. But she wasn't sitting there in the past and having her hair brushed for her own benefit. She tilted her ears back towards Applejack as she dutifully asked,
"What was it? What caused all of your cutie marks?
You ever heard of a sonic rainboom?
Educate me. You're a Pegasus, and you don't know about the...
What's in the name?" Harmony retorted. She tried not to sound short. She was only slightly successful.
It's all in the experience, isn't it?
Darn tootin'. This sonic rainboom was what resulted in all of us getting our cutie marks. And on top of that, we learned that it was caused by none other than one of us gals in the first place.
Who?
Harmony secretly smiled.
Fluttershy?
Heavens no. But a certain blue Pegasus by the name of Rainbow Dash. You better memorize that name, because that's where it's going to be legend someday.
Yes,
Harmony murmured, her hooves kneading the rug beneath her.
I'm sure it will be.
You know, in a lot of ways, you kind of remind me of her.
Harmony's eyes twitched. She hadn't expected to hear that. Ever. She bit her lip and nearly whimpered.
Really?
In less than 2 days, I've considered you both a pest and a blessing. No two words could better describe Rainbow Dash in a heartbeat.
Applejack gave a drawlish chuckle, and she playfully nudged the Pegasus' shoulder.
I'm joshing, of course. You're sweet as chocolate rain in my book, Harmony, which is the least I can say about Rainbow Dash. That Tom Colt can be a regular thorn in the hoof from time to time, but I love her all the same.
Harmony exhaled, smiled warmly into the shadows, and said,
I'm sure she loves us too.
A blink, and she winced slightly at how that came out.
Heh, if you say so, Copperbottom. Maybe once we get this apple harvest taken care of, I could introduce you to the gals. I like celebrating with my friends after a long week of apple bucking. You're free to come with.
I'll think about it, Harmony said.
Gazing forward, she fidgeted slightly, fought to scale the opportunity of the moment, and eventually seized it.
Hey, AJ.
Yes, Harmony?
What?
She cleared her throat.
What would it take, do you think, for a pony to seek audience with Princess Celestia?
You mean the Princess Celestia?
Harmony could positively feel the weight of Applejack's dumb blink from behind.
You're a servant of the court of Canterlot, and you're asking me about meeting up with the princess?
Harmony winced at that. All of that. She should have seen it coming from 25 years of reverse time away.
Still, she painted her tongue silver and persisted.
I know how much you dislike bureaucracy, Miss Applejack. It's only natural to hate the process of red tape.
Even a pony of my stature and service has to go through several layers of offices before I can so much as submit a letter to Her Highness.
Like when you plan on reporting on this Sweet Apple Acres?
Yes. No. Harmony tugged briefly on the end of her hairs and sat up.
Ahem. This isn't about my inspection of the farm. Not this.
Then what is it about, Harmony?
It's...
Harmony bit her lip. 100 million dying faces flicked in and out of a blink. She calmed herself and managed.
It's a personal matter. That's all. I know it's rather foolhardy for a pony, any pony, to think that she can easily make contact with the princess, somehow circumnavigating the waiting list of so many other concerned citizens who ride her on a daily basis. But in my service to her highness, in all of my travels I have, how can I say this? I've uncovered some findings about the lands of Equestria that I think need a close review, and there's no offices in my court that can properly filter, what I have to report on.
I see. And you call that a personal matter?
Harmony inhaled. Then, she gave a brief smile.
What's more personal than the safety and future of Equestria? You may hold a great deal of faith in this land, Miss Applejack, and that's all well and fine for you. You're an Earth pony. You live here. But me, I don't live entirely in Canterlot. Not like you think.
Just where do you live, Harmony?
Harmony lingered. She closed her eyes, returning briefly to the ashes.
I live in the skies, AJ. It's not just a part of my Pegasus nature. It's all about what I do, what I believe in, and who I am.
She reopened her amber orbs, and the rich warm flicker of the den seemed muted suddenly. It brought a chill up her invulnerable spine.
Someday, maybe eons from now, the skies will be all that's left of Equestria. Those who have spent so many years traveling, those like me, can see things the other ponies can't. All ponies except her highness. Princess Celestia sees all.
She gulped, then murmured.
Or at least, I certainly hope she does. I can't pretend to know the texture of your words as much as you're trying to paint them to me, but you've been awfully polite to my words. With the way these days have unfolded, I see every reason to respect yours all the same.
There was a gentle clapping sound of the brush being placed on a tabletop. Two hooves rested on Harmony's shoulders.
There you go. It ain't no prima donna hogwash, but I reckon you look mighty elegant.
Harmony shuffled, standing up from her stool. She trotted across the room and glanced into the reflective surface of a grandfather clock. The reflection sported a gorgeous black mane blossoming from her scalp, with the one amber streak swimming steadily down the centerpiece of the thickly forested threads.
It looks pretty. The Pegasus blushed slightly.
An orange reflection sauntered up next to her, smirking.
Yes, you do.
Applejack patted her shoulder as the two's complexion hovered numbly against the rotating hands of time.
Don't sell yourself short, girl. All them wisecracks I made yesterday about you being dainty and all, they're true in a way, but it's a darling truth. I'm sure you'd drive the stallions back at Canterlot into a fainting spell if you ever took the moment to come down from the skies you love.
Harmony exhaled, her breath incidentally fogging the clock face briefly as her eyes fell down the sloping length of the hour hand.
I'm not sure if I can ever afford to come down.
Good thing we stumbled into each other.
Applejack winked.
I reckon it gave you a chance to get better acquainted with the Earth. I'm sure the Earth was missing you mighty fierce, too.
Yeah, maybe so. Applejack rubbed her own chin with a hoof.
You know, tain't that much of a stretch getting in contact with the princess, now that I think about it.
Harmony flashed a hyper-glance Applejack's way.
Tain't it? Well, on account of my friend Twilight,
the orange mare mused.
She's always writing letters on friendship and Ponyvillian laugh to Celestia. She's her magical apprentice, you see.
Harmony shifted where she stood.
You don't say. At first I was a little bit miffed that every little thing I did or said around Twilight could very well have made its way onto the pages of a letter that a little dragon friend sent to her highness. But then I came to trust Twilight Spark of whom she really is. A gentle, endearing, and good-mannered pony. And heck, I'm all about telling the truth. Most of the time, at least. So I figured, what the hey is the big deal? And it's never bothered me since.
Applejack smiled proudly.
I have no doubt you helping out my family can make it to the princess's attention, thanks to Twilight. Assuming we leave out the whole issue with the trolls of Discord and all.
She finished with a nervous chuckle.
And then the princess would want to speak with me?
Harmony stammered, her wings briefly fluttering.
Pfft, one hoof before the other, Sugar Cube. But it's certainly a start, isn't it?
Where in tarnation is everyone? AJ, Miss Harmony!
Granny Smith wobbled out from the brightly lit kitchen and gawked at the two ponies.
There you are! Electra alive, ladies! Food's a-getting cold! Bring your flanks in here and take a bite before them nasty critters stop hiding in the forest!
She hobbled back under the gathering shadows of Big Macintosh and Apple Bloom at the table. Harmony winced slightly.
Where are my manners? I'm not used to a regular eating schedule. I didn't mean to hold up supper, honest.
Don't worry your sweet little head about it.
Applejack winked and motioned with her snout as she trotted over to join her family.
How about you put that mouth of yours in the munchin' instead of mopin'?
She said with a chuckle. The last pony nervously trotted after her, dipping her head humbly into the warm aura wafting off of the dinner table. Granny Smith was already serving heaps of the steaming daffodil Alfredo into each of the five plates, while Big Mac, Apple Bloom, and Applejack were shuffling padded stools into place and taking their seats. Harmony was so mesmerized by the sense of the well-cooked meal that she took a little notice of the seat that she was shuffling up towards. She heard someone's throat clearing. Glancing up, she saw McIntosh gazing deadpan at her, shaking his head and waving a hoof disapprovingly. With a blink, Harmony took a second look at the spot she was about to sit in. Its place at the table was dusty, plain, with the only thing adorning it being a vase full of well-preserved orange blossoms. The spot directly next to the seat had a pair of antique stallion's horseshoes crisscrossing in memory. Harmony blushed and winced apologetically McIntosh's way, watching as the crimson stallion gladly motioned her towards the guest stool on the other side of the table, which she quickly took, shuffling up until she was suddenly at chest level with the conjoined breath of the family, and with no means of escape. She had felt this cramped and caged before. The Harmony's cabin left little room for any pony to shuffle around. Inside her airship, Harmony was either piloting, runecrafting, reading journals, or lying in the hammock. There was nothing necessarily uncomfortable about the claustrophobic lifestyle. She was the only living thing that would ever need to use the cabin. But this dinner table full of breaths and smells, this was like being cornered by vicious harpies from all sides, only they wanted to bless her rather than eviscerate her. The last pony was not accustomed to being the recipient of anything besides what her own cold shoulder could carry for her throughout the years. It was positively suffocating. She also wasn't accustomed to traditional eating habits. With forlorn eyes, Harmony watched as the family exchanged smiles and polite phrases of gratitude before offensively dipping the entire weight of their snouts directly into the spiced plates of straw and flowers. Scrumptious oats and delicious white petals dribbled off their delightful maws as they treated their table like one large horse trough. If Harmony had lost all of her faint memories from foalhood, she might even have been disgusted. She realized that she was the source of her own confusion. For decades, her diet consisted entirely of mushroom stew and meat broth. And very early into her Zeppelin lifestyle, the Pegasus had crafted for herself metal braces attached with eating utensils so that she could fish her meals out of a collapsible container that could be discarded in a heartbeat for when she needed to jump into her cockpit and steer clear of a sudden obstacle or air pirate attack. Harmony had been alone for so long, she had forgotten what it meant to eat like a pony. Strangely enough, it was the first incongruity that didn't make her feel shameful. She cleared her throat, wrenched her eyes off the ungainly eating habits of her hosts, and gazed at the food on the plate before her. She knew the Daffodil Alfredo had to be delicious. Her senses told her that it smelled delicious, but there was no convincing the supposed gut of her projected soul self that she needed to be hungry for it. Her need to eat was the same as her need to sleep, and it was all related to the unnatural stamina that aided her entropian body so well in her endless apple bucking that day. In fact, the only reason she took a bath was because Applejack insisted. She didn't want to wait until the four blessed ponies in front of her insisted that she join in the meal. So, leaning her snout down awkwardly, she opened her lips like a giant copper crane and snapped a rattling bite of the heaping flowers and straw. The soonest the daffodil petals entered her mouth, they melted around the crunching contours of the flower stalks until a grand cornucopia of home-brewed taste gathered into a frothing ball against her tongue and exploded endorphins directly into her brain. Her eyes almost rolled back in her head. This wasn't quite like the apple she had bitten into the day before. There were no bittersweet emotions attached to this. This was, quite simply, an onslaught of pleasure. Something she hadn't gotten from food in a while. She remembered suddenly what it meant to consume something simply for the sake of the experience, and not for the sake of survival. It was a joyously awkward shimmer that danced up and down her spine, like having waltzed in on a muffin buffet at Sugar Cube Corner. She pondered a little too heavily on this, so that she was blind to her avid devouring until she blinked her eyes up with a mouthful to see four amused faces staring at her.
My, they certainly starve you in the Royal Court of Canterlot, don't they?
Granny Smith snickered, bearing a knowing wink that only Harmony could see.
Don't go picking on her, Granny.
Applejack smiled between munches.
She done deserved a good scarfin'. Besides, who can resist your wonderful Alfredo?
Yeah, can Miss Harmony visit us some more?
Appleblum stifled a belch and beamed.
I wouldn't mind chowing down on this every week.
Oh, Sugarcube, what would make this a special occasion if we did that, then?
We should let ponies visit us more often, AJ. When's all your apple bucking gonna be finished, huh? I feel like we've been a bunch of lonely rock farmers. What, with all this work and no play?
The soonest we get this here harvest done, I reckon we're in for a heaping load of celebration. I mean it. This year's been a real doozy.
You can say that again, child.
Yup.
Why, if I'd had a bit for every basket of apples I've filled this year alone, I'd fancy myself being nearly as rich as Rarity.
That reminds me, AJ. Where has that most resplendent pony been lately? Seems like Rarity's a no-show every time I go to visit the Ponyvillian Market.
Oh, she's just being her normal fabric fussing self, Granny,
Applejack remarked.
Last thing I heard, she'd hired a chauffeur named Anastasia or some nonsense to drag her back and forth between here and Trottenham. Beats me what made Rarity so distant lately. No doubt she's working on the latest task for that fabulous fashion critic from Canterlot, hoity-toity.
Now, AJ, if you don't know a pony's name, it ain't polite to go on filling the blank, no is it?
No, Granny. I mean that is his name. He's hoity-toity.
A name like that in the Canterlotian elite? Preposterous. Next thing you know, Princess Celestia's School for Gifted Ponies will be passing out doctorates to the colts named Mr. Hooves.
So, Harmony.
Applejack took another bite of Alfredo and smiled down the family table.
Tell us a little bit about the sorts of things that a royal servant of Canterlot gets to see in her travels, why don't you?
Harmony fidgeted, swallowing down another scrumptious lump of oats and smiling nervously.
It's not necessarily good dinner conversation.
She glanced briefly at a wrinkled, lime-coated face across the table. A quiet grayness hovered above the otherwise warm hovel.
Are you kidding?
Applebloom nearly bounced out of her stool, her hairbow twitching atop a grinning head.
I've never met a Pegasus working for the princess before. I bet you see all kinds of cool and amazing things in your line of work.
Where I go isn't nearly as important as what I do, Harmony said.
After clearing her throat, she half murmured aside.
Or whom I do it for.
Do you see any sea serpents?
Harmony blinked.
I beg your pardon, kid? Sweetbill says that there are tons of sea serpents out beyond the mountains bordering the Equestrian Valley. She said they're called Leviathans, on account of they're so big that they can't fit their big old selves in normal lakes and rivers.
Harmony didn't bother stifling a knowing smirk.
This Sweetbill sounds like a walking dictionary.
Nah, she just tries really hard to impress other ponies. I think it's because she's trying to look as classy as her sister, Rarity. She's not nearly as confident about things as my other friend.
Harmony's heart briefly dropped when Applejack interrupted her little sister.
That's quite enough jabbering about your crusaders, Applebloom. Y'all can talk about that another day.
Oh, but sis, the whole point of being a cutie mark crusader is wanting to go out into the world and do everything to get a cutie mark. I bet Miss Harmony here has done just that.
Before Applejack could interject again, the Copper Pegasus spoke.
It's true, Harmony said. I've been to many places, and it sounds like you've got a noble thing going with these crusader friends of yours, Applebloom. But I don't think you should be so obsessed with the outside world, kid. Especially when you've got so much that's awesome right here.
What you mean, Miss Harmony?
Applebloom blinked widely at her. Applejack raised an eyebrow. Granny Smith and a mute Macintosh gazed over half-munched Alfredo. Under the spotlight of so many warm pairs of eyes, Harmony crossed her hooves atop the table and breathed soundly.
I've seen many things in my flight, she said, plucking the words from the gray fields of her mind with caution. I've seen deep granite chasms etched into the earth from millennia ago, when things that were done to this world were performed by the whim of a goddess with absolute permanence in mind. I've flown under the shadow of mountains too high for any Canterlotian chronicler to measure. They are natural monstrosities so large that to simply comprehend them reminds a pony of just how tiny a speck she is in the mere twinkle of a pony's eyes. I have seen wastelands, Applebloom. Wastelands that stretch on for hundreds upon hundreds of kilometers, where the only sign of life that could possibly exist is the indestructible spirit of ponydom. The world is a huge place, and when it's stripped bare of all the pretty things that make it recognizable, it becomes clear pretty quick that the only hoofprint you can ever hope to make is the sort of mark you can etch upon the souls of each other. Of the ones that you love, and the ones that you would forever miss if they were to fly off along the wild winds of what lies beyond the mountains, and never ever return. The world is huge, and it is amazing, but personally, I have found so much of it to be empty.
Harmony's lips lingered. She gazed up with a brief fear. The warmth in the eyes of the living ponies had faded slightly. As they regarded her, their faces seemed a little paler, as if cornered by trolls. She knew exactly how to change that. With a painful smile, the Pegasus finished.
But here. No, there is no emptiness here. You can dream and wonder about the outside world all you want, Applebloom. But let me save you the trouble when I say that there's nothing better than a home. You can go on 1,000 exoduses to cover 1,000,000 miles, by land or by air. But having a home is all that matters. And this home, Applebloom, this gorgeous and beautiful home where your family lives, it is a good home. And I am willing to bet that if you too were able to see the many sights of Equestrian beyond, only here would you feel complete. Anywhere else would just be empty.
She glanced up at the sisterly orange mare.
Where else would the earth so generously give back for you simply being you?
Applejack smiled sweetly. From across the table, an old mare bore a grin that was half as enthusiastic, but twice as understanding.
Well, I hope I get to see some Leviathans someday. Applebloom, heavens to Betsy.
Granny Smith rolled her eyes and then smiled at the guest.
Would you like seconds, dear?
Harmony blushed under the gaze of the elder.
I would love some, Miss Smith.
I rightly share Applebloom's melancholy over the victuals.
Applejack mused while the lime-colored pony scooped Harmony another heap of straw and daffodils.
Tomorrow night, we're likely back to me cooking the same old boring meals like I do every week. It's nothing for you to fancy, Harmony. I don't quite have Granny's gift of spice in here, but I reckon my meals are decently healthy.
And boring.
Applebloom made a retching face.
Oh, hush.
Applejack briefly frowned, folding her hoofs in a pout.
So what's wrong with a little bit of spinach and celery here and there?
A pony does not live on apples alone, Harmony mused while shifting through the contents of her plate.
I'm sure I stole that from somewhere, but I'm too tired to quote it. She lied again.
It's only fitting that we each get a wink of shut-eye before the night calls on our bodies twice as hard as this day has.
Maybe I could play you some Stallion of Arius,
Granny Smith said in a gentle breath. Only Harmony could detect the mournful tone to it.
That should ease us gentle act to the dark.
No, Granny, that's sweet of you, but we don't want to get too much sleep. You know what could come prancing around the orchards at any second.
We expecting visitors, AJ?
Applebloom spoke up above a thinning stack of Alfredo.
Harmony spoke suddenly above the warm flicker of the room before any of the older ponies could betray their honest qualities.
That reminds me, Miss Applejack. What exactly is your taste in music?
I reckon I haven't thought too much of it.
Twilight and Rarity are always gabbing on and on about some record or another. I suppose it's just the unicorn way to appreciate a fine symphony, what with them tuning forks they got sticking out of their heads. What about yourself, Miss Harmony? What flavor caterest y'all?
Strings. Sometimes violins, but mostly the cello.
Harmony smirked. She briefly glanced at Miss Smith as she spoke.
It's so beautiful. It's a little mournful, and yet jubilant in its own rights.
You don't say. Come to think of it, I like me some expert twanging of a dulcimer myself.
Imagine that.
And Big Macintosh here fancies himself a liar when he pays the village a visit from time to time. Ain't that right, Mackie?
The stallion blushed deeply in between munches.
Yup.
The Apple sisters giggled gaily, their young and old chuckles forming a cohesive hum in the center of the kitchen. Macintosh munched slightly into the warm breath of the moment. Granny Smith hovered upon the precipice of the scene. Harmony, the last pony, with her stab wound stifled in the past and her loneliness stored in the future, sat and drank it all in, expecting at any breath and at any jolt for the chaotic legions of horror to bring the entire house crashing down on the innocent hearts. She let the length of the occasion linger as long as the trolls cared to, as long as the cataclysm dared to, as long as Princess and Trope herself willed to, until she rediscovered the courage to admit that she still wasn't strong enough to be seated, and she hovered above the dinner table just as helplessly as she had when she first stumbled upon it, a nomadic foal looking for a home.